Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the Gospel by Mark, chapter 1. We're going to start in just a moment in verse 21. And as we start in verse 21, we're going to look at Jesus Christ at His busiest, at His greatest time of activity. His life was besieged by people. Everywhere He went, people were looking for Him, they were following Him, they were seeking Him out. As I shared in times past, I mean, everything from digging through the rooftops to chasing after Him and grabbing Him. He was just in a very, very busy time in His life. But as we look at verse 21 of chapter 1, we're also looking at the fact of Christ's habit. What was Jesus Christ's habit when life was overwhelmingly full? And what we're going to find is He practiced the discipline of solitude. Verse 21, it says this in Mark chapter 1, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath," so it's identified, this is a place, Capernaum, and a day of the week, Saturday, "He entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His teaching. He taught as one having authority." Verse 23 talks about the demonized man in their synagogue who has this outburst in verse 24. Jesus rebukes him in verse 25. The Spirit convulses him in verse 26. Now look at verse 27. "They were all amazed. They questioned. They said, 'Wow, what is this? What doctrine is this? For with authority He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him.'" Now look at verse 28. "Immediately His fame spread throughout the region." Now without telephone and radio and internet and email and everything else, how did it spread? They all went out like this. I mean, that group cleared out of that synagogue and took off. And they said, "Somebody visited our synagogue and He had unbelievable power." So look what happens in verse 29, 30, and 31. "After church or synagogue, as soon as they came out," more ministry for Jesus, "they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother," Simon, that's Peter's wife's mother, that's Peter's mother-in-law, and Peter had a mother-in-law, Peter had a wife. That's just for you church history buffs. The Apostle Peter was married, and he had a wife. But continuing, "she was sick, and she lay with a fever, and they told him about her. And it came that he took, so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." So there was this afternoon. Now look at this, verse 32. "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to Him all who were sick," remember, because of the Sabbath travel laws that they observed, "all the people who had gone home from the synagogue had spread the word, and now as soon as sunset, everybody was," I mean, I can just see them coming in out of the hills, you know, with all the lame and the sick and the people that were troubled and tormented and everything else. It says they brought to Him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And verse 34 says, "He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and He didn't allow the demons to speak because they knew Him." Now, Jesus, all that to say, that's one day out of the life of Jesus Christ, and it's absolutely jam-packed. I mean, from the morning disruption in the service with the demonized guy, to the mother-in-law of Peter with her fever, to the whole region just streaming in. And life was very full. Now look at the next verse. This is the key. Verse 35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed." Solitude. This morning I'd like to challenge you with solitude. Solitude is slipping away to get alone with God because I love Him and because I want to commune with the one I love so dearly. That's what solitude is about. Solitude, slipping away to be alone with God because I love Him. Now, have you ever been in an incredibly busy time in your life, like verses 21 to 33 talk about in 34, when it seems like everything is just coming at you so fast you can't keep up, and it's like you're constantly giving and there's just no end to it? I was thinking, because exactly 20 years ago, May 1st, last Thursday, I was in that time. I was finishing my 8th year of graduate school and university. I was working in comprehensives. It was just unbelievable. I had my own business and shared a house with four other roommates that I had, other fellows that were in the seminary, and I had 12 faculty members I was accountable to, just scores of classmates, and was a leader on campus. And it was May 1st of 1983. I was supposed to graduate in just a matter of days. I had so much to do. And on May 1st, 1983, I saw Bonnie for the first time in my life. You know, I don't remember the rest of the month of May. I don't remember if my four roommates ever moved out, if they ever paid their rent. I don't remember my classes, my 12 professors. I couldn't tell you if I ever saw them that month. I don't remember the scores of classmates. In fact, I don't ever remember seeing anybody in those classes. All my close friends, they said, "We lost you. You went off the screen." I was still at school. I was in every class. But you know what? I had learned in the midst of 7,500 people that were surrounding me and milling around, I had found out that you can find solitude and slip off and be alone in a crowd. And in incredible compressed busyness and schedules and projects and every type of comprehensive exam, and be alone with someone if you love them. I guess the real question this morning is, for all the people that I meet with and for all my struggles in my own life, where I find that it seems like I'm too busy to spend time with the Lord, there's only one reason you and I could be too busy to spend time with the Lord. It's because we don't realize that solitude is slipping away to be alone with someone we love. You know, nobody read me the Riot Act and said, "You need to start spending time with Bonnie." I just did. I mean, the first time I went out there, I said, "You know, you're the person I prayed for my whole life. How would you like that for an introduction?" You know, I mean, that was kind of a proposal, I guess, because I was thinking in my mind, and you're the one I prayed I would marry. Well, solitude can be practiced even in the most climactic times. And Jesus, in this day, look at verse 21. Jesus had gone from morning, and by the time we get to verse 34, to the night, and he gave himself to all that came to him. And they came on donkeys, they came in carts, they were carried by their families, they came surrounded by crowds, and multitudes flocked to him, the Messiah, the healer, the friend of sinners. That was Jesus. And verses 32 to 34, the last three verses, Mark is rehearsing Peter's account, and it talks about all these diseased and possessed people. And that was all in Capernaum. But look at verse 35 now. And look at immediately following what happened. Jesus had cultivated the discipline of solitude. He had perfected the art of getting alone with God. He had learned the secret of waiting on God, and he, therefore, is the perfect example. Verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a great while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. Jesus had cultivated the discipline that he needed to stop and cease the flow of the river of people and events and ministries and needs and deadlines, and he just stopped it, and he went alone to commune with God. Because it was on his list and he was supposed to check off a little box? No. Because he loved him. He needed, wanted, desired, longed for communion with his Father in heaven. Well, this was a regular part of Christ's life. Let me show you what I mean. Turn back to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to go to six quick passages. Look at Matthew 14. And I want to just underline in your minds, that's the book just before Mark, Matthew 14 and verse 23. I want to underline a few words in each of these verses. Verse 23, it says, he sent away the multitudes. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And look at the end of the verse. And he was alone there. He went by himself and he was alone. What's that? That's Jesus slipping away to spend time alone with his Father in heaven because he loved him, because he wanted to commune with him. That's what solitude is. I know that there's a form of solitude that the transcendental meditationists do, and the yogis and all the Eastern cults. And there's even a form of solitude that the mega super wealthy have. They love to survey their empire and be left alone and look at all their stuff. I'm not talking about secular solitude. I'm talking about the spiritual byproduct of a consuming love for the God of heaven who saved us, who loved us with such love that causes us to respond with a love that we seek him. Even in the midst of such a schedule as Jesus had. Well, keep going back to Mark, and let's go to chapter 6 now. We were in chapter 1. Go to Mark 6 with me, and I want to underline words. Verse 46, it says, when he had sent them away, So he stopped the river of activity and life. And, verse 46 continues, he departed to the mountain. So he sent away everyone and went alone. He went to this mountain. Okay? Luke chapter 4, that's the next book over to the right. Same concept happens again. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. A deserted place. As soon as it was daylight, Luke 4:42, he went into a deserted place. Jesus always had a pre-planned action to find this place where he could commune with God. This quiet place. Even in the midst of crowds, even in the midst of great activity, he found a way to detach himself from that and step in and to commune with his Father because he loved him. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 is the next one. Keep going to the right. It says this, it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night. He went again to a mountain. He went, away from where everybody was. They didn't sleep on the mountains. They didn't go up there at night. And he went away from the crowds and up to be alone. He slipped away to be alone with the one that he loved. Here's the ultimate solitude. Look at Luke 22. I mean, this is amazing. This is Luke 22:39. Jesus knew death was near. Okay, he knew he was getting close to the end of his life, close to the time of his excruciating, and that is literally true, excrucious, from the cross. Our English word excruciating comes from the word cross in the biblical language. And so we find Jesus was facing the cross. And what does he do in Luke 22? Coming out, verse 39, he went to the Mount of Olives. You know, death is a time that should draw us into fellowship with God instead of make us frantic and looking for ways to avoid it. And Jesus, knowing his death was impending, went to the Mount of Olives. Look at verse 41. He had this crowd around him, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. You know, just last week I was on the phone with a friend of mine who was on a trip and was hospitalized, and I called him and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Wonderful." Now he was in a life-threatening situation. I said, "Really? Wonderful? Is that really wonderful?" He said, "Yes." He said, "God pulled me away from everything I was planning to do so I could be alone with him and have some intimate time." That's what Jesus, that's the heartbeat of someone that loves the Lord. They look at solitude as a time when we are slipping away to spend time with the one we love the most, the Lord. And that's what Jesus did. Verse 41, he was withdrawn from them and he knelt down and prayed and said, "My Father." And he goes through this prayer. I could go on to John 6 and verse 15. He departed in the mountain by himself alone. We could go on and on through the scripture, but let's back up back to Mark 1 and verse 35. And I want you to deepen the point of Mark's account here by underlining it in your mind. The passion of Jesus for his Father in heaven, whom he loves so dearly, is seen in his pre-dawn solitude time alone with God. Why did he do this? Why did Jesus, who was already perfect, Jesus who was already God in human flesh, Jesus who already was the fullness of God dwelling in a body, as Colossians 2:8-9 says, Jesus who is the exact image and representation of God the Father, why would Jesus need to have time alone? Well, that's the reason we're at this passage, because the scriptures tell us in verse 35 that Saturday's river of miracles and ministry continues in a wonderful Sunday morning. Verse 35 says it's the next morning, it's Sunday morning, and Jesus had gotten as much sleep as he desired. Now, that's something to talk about. Did you know that the Bible says that we should be careful about this sleep thing? We should all cultivate the discipline of mind over mattress, okay? And what that is that we should realize that we can get as much sleep, but the book of Proverbs says, watch out for those who just love and they can't get out of bed and they love to stay in bed. Jesus was not one of those. He got as much sleep as he desired and he awoke. It was still dark. Everyone was still asleep in the house. And so he noiselessly steals from his room. Now, remember, every home they've excavated in the area of Galilee is a four-room house. And these four-room houses, storage room and a food preparation room and a gathering room and a sleeping room, And they were very tight and close. And Jesus was always staying with other people. And so it was a very lacking privacy kind of place. And so what he did is he'd scope out wherever he went and would find a place where he knew he could go. And this is, he's practicing it right here. He slips out, found his way to the street of Capernaum. Soon he was out of town. He climbed up a hillside to a remote spot. Maybe it was a hidden hollow somewhere. And he lifted up his heart in the quietness of that place to the one that he loved. Now you can do this in the midst of a crowd. As I said earlier, I mean, I was so totally focused on Bonnie, the answer to my prayers, that I don't really remember anybody. I mean, I still did all my work. I accomplished everything I was supposed to accomplish, turned in all the papers. I don't even remember turning them in. But I do remember the complete focus that you can have when you love someone and you can focus. So this, sometimes Jesus was able to pray in the midst of a crowd. That's what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had 11 men all around him, arrayed around him. And he, even in the midst of all those watching eyes, was able to be alone. But here, he goes away. Why does he do this? Well, as Dr. E. Stanley Jones once said, time in solitude with God is like a time exposure to God. He uses the analogy of a photographic film needing to have enough light to capture the image. Last night I was taking pictures of the kids with the digital camera, and I realized that without the flash, I didn't hold it still long enough, and so they were fuzzy. And I hadn't held still and just captured all the light. Well, you know what? That's what a lot of people's spiritual lives are like. A little fuzzy. They don't hold still. They don't have that solitude. They don't get alone with God. Jesus was exposing his humanity to God. He did that as our perfect example. The reason for Jesus' solitude was to show he did not live his life as God the Son apart from God the Father. That's the reason he prayed. That's the reason that he had this time of solitude. He said, apart from you, God, I can do nothing here on earth. I do not come to do my own will here. I come to do the will of my Father in heaven. So he would expose his life to his Father so that he could go through life saying, I'm not doing my own will, but the will of my Father. And this process becomes an example for us. If Jesus needed to expose himself to God in order to accomplish God's will, how much more do we need to as a habit, as a regular part of our life? Jesus lived this way and died this way, constantly doing the will of God his Father. We should seek to live our lives in step and under the control of God's Spirit. Jesus lived this way. Jesus sought to be alone with God because he wanted us to live our lives that way. In fact, that's why the apostles said, Peter, who is the one who the Gospel of Mark was his recollections of Christ, Peter says, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps, that we should follow the way he lived. And so we should think about that. Solitude, time alone with God, begins in his word. And it is the greatest necessity of our spiritual lives. We need to learn to be alone with God daily. Now, how often did Jesus do this? If you read between the lines, it was such a habit of his that he either found time at night to be alone or he found time in the morning to be alone. It's not some, you know, holy grail of an exact time or method. It is an attitude that love demands intimacy, and love intimately needed to be alone. And Jesus expressed that as he would go off in this time of solitude with his Father. Well, we need to be alone with God daily. We need to find times to get away alone. We need to get up early if that's what's necessary. We aren't called to spend many hours of prayer a day as some are. Most of us are just needing to spend some time. You read Martin Luther and he said he couldn't start his day without 2 or 3 hours of prayer. You read some of the others and they spend 5, 6, and 8 hours of prayer. That is wonderful. That's not the average normal part of life. But what we're all called to do is to spend some time alone with God. Some time cultivating intimacy with the one we love. You know, if our family, when they're awake, it's impossible for us to spend time with them, then we have to pray before they get up and spend time alone in the Word before they get up. And if we have no place, we can find a place. We just need to have the attitude that we need time alone. Well, look at verse 36, because there are some detractors to this. Though Jesus was out there all alone in his deserted place communing with God, he wasn't safe. Like our world each day, Jesus was interrupted. And the disciples had stumbled in verse 36 out of Capernaum, combed the hills like they were used to doing, spotted Jesus on a hill somewhere. Maybe it was, and I often like to think it was the majestic panoramic cliff of Arbel, which is just to the south of Capernaum. And maybe they'd seen his little profile up there on the edge of the rocks, and they had made their way up there. But as Jesus was concluding his time alone with God, there they come. But look what Jesus says. This is what's so significant. It says, Simon and his companions were looking for him. When they found him, verse 36, they said, hey, everybody's looking for you. Now look at the next verse, verse 38. But he said to them, let us go in the next town that I may preach there also. Now look at this. Because for this purpose I have come. You know what that tells us? Jesus spent this time slipping away to be alone with God because he loved to do God's will. You notice what it says? For this purpose I have come. He had renewed his calling and purpose of God. He had reaffirmed what God's will was for his life. He had refocused on what God wanted him to do. See what happened in that time of solitude? It was a son, God the Son, so loving his Father, God the Father, that he said, I just want to reaffirm what my purpose and what my goal in life is. This morning, how can we start cultivating this time alone with God? Let me just share three practical ways we can do this, and then we'll go into them deeply next time. I'll just read them this morning. Number one, solitude starts when we're reading in God's Word. You say, wait a minute, where'd you get that? Hebrews chapter 5, Jesus said, lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me, I've come to do your will. Jesus' whole life was fulfilling the Word of God. Solitude starts in our lives when we're reading God's Word. If you don't even have a habit of reading God's Word, you probably will never cultivate this discipline of solitude. Solitude is an attitude, and it's an action that flows from attitude that accompanies the disciplines we've already studied of Scripture and of Spirit-filledness and supplication. But it's an attitude that my supplication, my time in the Scripture has to come because I love my Father and love my Savior so much that I want to be alone with them. Number one, solitude starts when we're reading God's Word. Next, solitude continues when we're memorizing from God's Word. I don't know if you're reading the current entertainment and technology news, but you know what the big contest now is between big music and big consumers. And big consumers, primarily young people, just don't think it's right to pay for music. And so they want to download and share and swap and copy and file and whatever. And big music says, we've got, you know, all these royalties and everything we've got to pay to the artists and all of our technology. And so they're trying to code and, you know, sabotage anybody from being able to share music. I was thinking about that as all the verbiage has been going on of big music's tries and the smart kids who, you know, thwart them. And I thought, you know what? The greatest download is available all the time. Did you know when you read this book, you are listening to the very voice of God? Did you realize that's the greatest audio file you'd ever want to download and have as your very own and copy and guard and store in your memory? See, reading this book is listening to the voice of God, and we must stop to listen. It's amazing that any Christian would ever imagine they can live a Christian life without regularly listening to the voice of God. Our human minds are plagued by leaking. We need to be refreshed again and again. And some who have been for years believers have never listened to the voice of God regularly. And they wonder why life is fuzzy and bumpy, and they never know what's going on. They never know why this is happening, and they just think that life's just one disaster going to another, and then they have a few highs, and then everything else is a problem. You know what it is? They don't have time listening to God. They don't hear His voice. Memorizing is downloading. Meditating is playing the download. I mean, it's so current. I mean, what would you think of someone that loved music and never listened to it, or that just downloaded and never heard it? That's a description of most Christians whose Bibles are shut. They never download or listen to what God's voice. Well, we're going to look at that practically over the next few weeks. But this morning, do you love God so much that you've learned to cultivate the habit of slipping away to be alone with Him because you love Him? Jesus did. Jesus said, apart from you, I don't do anything. I don't do my own will. I do the will of my Father in heaven. And I have loved Him. And I have communed and been intimate with Him from eternity past. And He said, so here on earth I continue that habit of solitude, which is slipping away. Spend time alone with God, as I love Him. Is that your heart's desire this morning?